God, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord, that you poured yourself out upon all flesh. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've come to live within us, but also, Lord, that you've come to fill this place. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill this room. Just like on the day of Pentecost, Lord, as a group of believers gathered together, a group of believers that had already received the Holy Spirit, but as they prayed and as they worshipped together, you came and filled that place afresh. I pray, Lord, this morning you would come and you would fill this place afresh, that you would come and that you would fill us all afresh. Lord, that you would fill us full to overflowing. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come and saturate every area of our lives. Lord, I pray that you would ignite the flame burning within us, Lord, that you would fan the flame. Lord, that we would burn for you, Lord. That would burn for you, burn for your purposes, Lord. Burn for your ways, God. Thank you, Lord, that you've never left us nor forsaken us. You've never left us as orphans, but you've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We just want to honor and worship you this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thanks, Matt. Oh, thanks. Awesome. Wow. We have DBK on this morning, so if you've got children in DBK, please take them out now to the back. Don't forget to sign them in. And just as we're worshiping there this morning, I just felt maybe we just need to pray. Kind of felt just for parents in the room who are carrying a heavy burden for their children. You're carrying a heavy burden because your child is not walking with the Lord, or maybe they're in a broken relationship within the family. And so we want to pray for restoration, but also maybe children suffering sickness. I just feel a really heavy burden that people, that parents are carrying this morning. Does that witness to anyone? Terry. Awesome. Nola. Did you say yes? Glennis. Oh, Vicky. It's going down the line. But I wonder if you just stand for a moment and we're just going to pray. If you're feeling you've got a heavy burden and it's for a child no longer walking with the Lord, it may be a child who's broken away from the family. It might be a child with suffering sickness. And just look, we've got a whole heap of people standing up this morning. And I wonder, those who are sitting down, I wonder if you could just gather around, and I wonder if you could just lay hands just on those who are standing this morning. So if you can get up and just lay hands, and then we're just going to pray. We're going to pray for restoration, the restoration of relationships. We're going to pray for the restoration of our relationships with God. We're going to pray for a restoration of relationships within the family, if that's the case. Or we're going to pray for healing, if there's anyone, you know, a child who's suffering from sickness. So if you can just lay hands, just make sure everyone's got, you know, hands laid on them if possible. So if you can just kind of gather around together and let's just pray and let's just believe. You know, we serve a God of miracles. We serve a God, you know, we read in Luke 15 that he's a God that, you know, with the prodigal son has a turnaround and returns back to the Father. You know, we're really going to believe that for our children today and for the days ahead, that God is going to move amongst our kids. He's going to bring them back into an intimate relationship with himself. but also if there's a family breakdown, that there's going to be a restoration within the family, and also if there's sickness, there's going to be healing. So why don't you pray with me as I pray, and we're just going to declare God's goodness over our children this morning. Lord, we know that you're a God who loves children, God. Lord, your word says that. Don't stop the children from coming to me. And so, Lord, we just pray right now for a restoration for those kids who are no longer walking with you, Lord, or who have drifted away, who are distant from you, God. We just pray right now for a restoration. We just pray right now, Lord, anything that is causing them or stopping them from coming back to you, we break that off them now, right, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, just for a restoration within the family unit, Lord, where relationships are broken down. We pray, God, for a move of your Holy Spirit, that there would be a restoration and a healing within those relationships. And also those, Lord, who are sick and sick in body, we pray and just declare your healing power over every single child, Lord, who is suffering sickness. We break that sickness off now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes. Thank you, Jesus. He's the restorer. He's the healer. He's the miracle worker. I'm going to believe for a good report or good reports and about miracles that are about to take place. Hey, Zuritu, do you want to come up here for a moment? Uh-oh. Now, we've been meaning to give you this for a long time now. This is your baptism certificate that occurred on 4th of December. So, yeah. So, well done. Congratulations. Cherish that. Don't burn it. But well done for taking that step of faith and going through the waters of baptism. And God's not finished with you yet. And he's got an awesome plan for your life. And don't fear or fret. Okay, God's got it. All that uncertainty maybe you're feeling, God knows the next step for you. So, and he'll reveal that to you in time. Just stay close to God, and he will show you the way. Right? Don't worry about other people's opinions. Don't worry about expectations of others. Just trust in the Lord. Stay close to God, trust in the Lord, and he will show you which way, which path to take, if that makes sense. So God's got an awesome plan for your life, you know, and just feel that. I see a sword in your hand, a sword of the Spirit, like in your hand. And the sword of the Spirit's the word of God. So I just pray, Lord, that the word of God that's inside Zuritu, God, I just pray, Lord, it's released. Lord, even from this day forward, Lord, you know, Jeremiah said that, you know, your word, it's like a fire in his bones. And I pray, Lord, there'd be a fire in Zuritu's bones, the word of God, Lord, that it would come forth and it would come out with power. So I pray, Lord, that there would be just a really strong bonding with Zuritu and yourself, Lord, that she would hear the word of the Lord and that she would proclaim it boldly with faith and with confidence. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. How are we all going this morning? Oh, awesome. Well, I'm going to do part two of we'll continue on from our sermon from last week. So last week, I just shared about the Holy Spirit. So our theme for this year is Come Holy Spirit. And, I shared last week that the Holy Spirit is God. You know, he's the creator. He was there at the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, it talks about the Spirit, you know, it was hovering over, you know, the dark waters and you know, God and, well, he was the first person of the Trinity revealed, but we normally refer to him as the third person of the Trinity. And so, you know, our theme for this year is Come Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at trying to focus on four goals for the year. I think we might just put them up. I don't know if we've got them on the... But I think just to remind ourselves and those maybe who haven't been here for the last couple of weeks. But so our theme is Come Holy Spirit, and we want to know and try and focus on who the person, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, to grow in our understanding, to live a Spirit-filled life, to know how the Holy Spirit has shaped us and gifted us, and to fulfill our mission to build lives and transform communities in the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's our kind of our focus for the year. Our theme is Come Holy Spirit, and it's a prayer that's been prayed by many over the years, way back in the 13th century. You know, the church was praying a prayer, Come Holy Spirit. And back in the 13th century, the church was Catholic. And is it any wonder within a couple hundred years, a young man named Martin Luther, nailed the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg church door, and the Protestant Reformation began. Amen. You guys are Protestants, I'm just letting you know. Just letting you know, we're part of that line of the Protestant Reformation. When we pray the prayer, Come Holy Spirit, God tends to answer by shaking things, and moving things. And so just get ready for a ride this year. It's going to be exciting, but may also be a little bit challenging as God starts to deal with stuff inside each and every one of us. Maybe we get put into the furnace where he starts to, what's that right word? Starts to remove the impurities, the dross, yes, in our lives. And that is a good thing. And that is a really good thing. But this morning, we want to continue on talking about who is the Holy Spirit. Last week, we mentioned that Holy Spirit is God. And I want to talk about the Holy Spirit as a person this week. And what I see when you read through the book of Acts, what you see, and I think what I see quite clearly, is how the church, the believers, interacted and depended on and, on the Holy Spirit. And in a sense, it was like the Holy Spirit was just a part of everything that they were doing. And they knew that. They recognized that. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4. Just a reminder, I read this passage last week, but I think it's a good reminder of how Paul relied and depended on the Holy Spirit. He says, "And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive words, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit." How cool is that? Paul was well trained under, I think it was Gamaliel. Like he was a Pharisee upon Pharisee, well drilled, well trained, well educated. Here he says, "I didn't use clever and persuasive words, but what I did was relied on the power of the Holy Spirit." And my prayer for us as a church and for us as individuals is that what God has called us to do, whether that be our vocation or whether called to be a mum, called to be a dad, called to be a brother, called to be a sister, but everything that God has called us to do, that we would do in the power of the Holy Spirit. That we wouldn't rely on our own strength, that we wouldn't rely on our own giftings, even though the gifts come from God and the Holy Spirit, but that we'd be relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Last week, so this is a little bit of just to cover a little bit of ground from last week for those who weren't here, but last week I asked you to do an experiment and to close your eyes and to imagine, close your eyes. What does God the Father look like to you? And there would be very various different opinions of what God the Father looks like. He might look someone on a throne, like a judge. He might be someone who's close and personal, who's caring and loving. He might be someone who's angry. Then I'd ask you to close your eyes, and what do you see when you picture Jesus, the Son of God? And, we've all seen pictures of Jesus, books and particularly on, pictures and things like that. And generally it's the European Jesus. Nice flowing blonde, brown hair with a beard. Jesus was Middle Eastern. He wasn't European. But we might have a picture of Jesus, he's just, got a nice smile on his face. He's got a nice beard, well manicured beard, and got the nice flowing, long locks, and I might be wearing a robe. But then I ask you to picture the Holy Spirit. What do you see when you picture the Holy Spirit? When you close your eyes and you picture the Holy Spirit, generally the pictures that we do have of the Holy Spirit come from the Word, but they're things like a dove, it might be fire, it might be oil, it might be wind. Now, when you picture the Father and the Son, it's easy to picture that you can have a relationship with the Father and the Son because they reveal themselves to us as people, a Father and a Son. We can have a relationship with a Father and a Son. We do that. But when you think of the Holy Spirit, as I said last week, who here has a relationship with wind? I'm going down that path again. No. But who has a relationship with fire? You know, who has a relationship with oil? See, the Father and the Son, they're personal. They have personalities. But something like fire and wind doesn't have a personality. And so the Holy Spirit becomes quite mysterious and mystical. But I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit does have a personality. And the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a dove. He came like a dove or the form of a dove, but he's a person, someone we can relate to. It's like someone saying that they run like the wind. It doesn't mean that they are the wind. It's a characteristic of, you know, if that makes sense. This is what Encyclopedia Britannica says about a personality. Personality is a characteristic way of thinking, feeling, and behaving. Right? It's a characteristic way of thinking, feeling, and behaving. Personality embraces moods, attitudes, opinions, and is most clearly expressed in interacting with other people. The Holy Spirit has a personality. When you read through the Bible and you read through the Word, you see that the Holy Spirit speaks. He can be grieved, so he can feel. He can be grieved. He loves. He has a mind. He's intelligent. So as the Word says, who knows the mind of God but the Spirit of God? So he's intelligent and he has a will. So 1 Corinthians 12:11, you know, the Holy Spirit gives gifts to people whom he chooses. He has a will. He has a mind, Romans 8 verse 27. He can be grieved, Ephesians 4:30. He speaks, Acts chapter 3 verse 2, where he spoke to the church at Antioch, separate Barnabas and Paul for the work that I have for them to do. So the Holy Spirit is a person, and it's a person that we can have a relationship with. These are Jesus' words. Jesus says this in John chapter 14. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, one who stands by, to be with you forever." In the Message Bible, it says, "I will talk to the Father, and he will provide you another friend, so that you will always be, you will always have someone with you." So the Amplified translation emphasizes that Jesus is going to send another helper. The Message Bible says he's going to send another friend. That word "another" is the Greek word allos. And allos, actually, it means one of the same kind, right? One of the same kind. So you can have a piece of fruit and it might be an orange. And if you're going to get another piece of fruit, one of the same kind, you'd pick up another orange. So two oranges, they come under the fruit category, but they're one of the same kind. If you had a banana and an orange, that'd be one, their piece of fruit, that'd be one of a different kind. It looks different, it tastes different to the orange. Does that make sense? What Jesus is emphasizing here is that I'm going to send you one of the same kind, one like me. The Holy Spirit is everything that Jesus is. He's everything to the disciples. The Holy Spirit is everything, to us as Jesus was to the disciples. Does that make sense? He is one of the same kind. The Holy Spirit is one of the same kind as Jesus Christ. You know, he walks like Jesus. He talks like Jesus. He feels like Jesus. He has a mind like Jesus. He's intelligent like Jesus. He thinks like Jesus. He teaches like Jesus. He comforts like Jesus. He is everything. The Holy Spirit who's come to live inside of us, He is everything. And the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon all flesh. He is everything that Jesus is. So He's not just wind or fire, or He's not just oil that are really hard to have a relationship. He is a person exactly like Jesus Christ. How cool is that? And He comes to live inside each and every one of us. If you believe and surrendered your life to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, which means that you have a person of the Godhead living inside of you. How awesome is that? That is so cool. I think that is so cool. Check this out. John 16 verse 7. Jesus also said, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the helper will not come to you." That word helper is parakletos in the Greek. And it actually means someone being called alongside to give you help. So Jesus is actually saying, if I don't go away, this would have been really horrific and traumatic for the disciples, because they'd been walking with Jesus, they'd seen the miracles of Jesus, Jesus calmed the storms, Jesus was, well, He was a miracle worker, and all of a sudden Jesus says, "Hey, I'm going away, I'm going to leave you." That would have been really traumatic for these disciples, but He said, "I have to go away unless I can't send the helper. I need to go away so I can send the help of the Parakletos, the one who comes alongside to give you help and to give you strength." And the key here is Jesus had to go away. Jesus Himself was confined by a body and confined by a geographical space. So if Jesus is in Nazareth and He's in the synagogue in Nazareth, He's not down in Jerusalem. Okay? Whereas the Holy Spirit has been poured, He's been poured out on all flesh. He's not confined by a body. He's not confined by a geographical space. So Jesus has to go away so the Holy Spirit would come, and that the Holy Spirit would come and basically be with us 24/7. I don't even know if the disciples were with Jesus 24/7. In fact, he wasn't, because there were times the disciples had to look for Jesus. They couldn't find Him. You know, early in the morning, He'd go to isolated places to pray. And so the disciples are looking for Jesus. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Well, we don't have that issue, because the Holy Spirit that's been poured out, He is not bound by a physical body. He's not bound by geographical space. That means we take Him everywhere. He is with us 24/7. That means when we get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit is there with us. You know, if we get up at, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or whatever we're doing, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the Holy Spirit is there with us. If we get up and we want to start praying, man, the Holy Spirit's there helping us to pray. How awesome is that? 24/7, the Holy Spirit is with us. I think that's really exciting. That's really exciting. Ever heard people say, "Oh, it wouldn't have been good to walk with Jesus 2,000 years ago?" What's that? Yes. That's true. It's so true. People will say, "Oh, I wish would have been great to walk with Jesus 2,000 years ago to see all the miracles, rah, rah, rah." But guess what? We have the Holy Spirit with us, the Spirit of Jesus living with us 24/7. We don't have to go back 2,000 years to walk with Jesus, because He's walking with us now. I don't know. I don't know if you're happy about this. This is crazy good. And the great thing is, you know, you find yourself in a storm, the Holy Spirit's there to bring comfort and peace in the storm. Just like Jesus brought comfort and peace in the storm to the disciples. Jesus taught the disciples the ways of God and the kingdom of God. Guess what? The Holy Spirit teaches us the ways and ways of God and the kingdom of God. We have everything that the disciples had walking with them. But if it's better than that, because we have the Holy Spirit 24/7. I think the sad part is, though, because the Holy Spirit's so misunderstood, so mysterious and mystical, that I don't know whether we recognise His presence with us 24/7. We may do. But because sometimes maybe we just don't understand who is the Holy Spirit. As I said last week, you know, when I first became a Christian, I didn't understand who the Holy Spirit was. Understood Father, Son, but Holy Spirit, like the Holy Ghost. You heard the story last week about the ghost and calling the Holy Spirit an it. Like, just mystical. Just did not understand who the Holy Spirit was. And I think, you know, a lot of Christians have that misunderstanding of who the Holy Spirit is, and therefore ignore the Holy Spirit in their lives. This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. He says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Let's just meditate on that. Can you see that over my head? Can you see that? Like, I want you to meditate on this, okay? Let's just stop here for a tick and just meditate on these words. Paul says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." It's the Trinity there working. Paul's speaking about the Trinity right there. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace is seen in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. May the love of God, the Father. What does John 3:16 say? God so loved the world that he sent his Son. And then you've got the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Don't you just love that? Actually see the Trinity right there. When Paul's writing, he puts it into one sentence. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, you can put in brackets the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That word fellowship is the Greek word koinonia, and it means communion. It means fellowship, means partnership, it means companionship. So Paul is saying, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In other words, he's saying, may the communion, the fellowship, the partnership, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's pretty cool. It means that we can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, just like I have a relationship with Sharon. We've been married for how many years? Goodness knows how. How long? 28, 29, 28. I enjoy Sharon's fellowship. I enjoy Sharon's partnership. You know, we've raised two kids together. You know, our goal was to raise them in the ways of the Lord and pray that they'd go on serving the Lord. They're serving the Lord, you know. So we're in this together. We're in partnership in this together, leading Dream Builders Church. It's not just me. It's Sharon and myself. It's not just Sharon. It's Sharon and myself. I can't lead this without Sharon. Sharon can't lead this without me. We're in partnership together. I enjoy her companionship. What does that mean? Well, we go driving together. We spend time together. We talk with one another. We do things together. You know, there's no one on this planet that knows me better than Sharon. She knows when I'm having a good day, knows when I'm having a bad day. She just by looking into my eyes, she knows me better than anyone. Because we've spent the last however long, 30 years, in companionship with one another, partnership with one another, in communion with one another, in fellowship with one another. You know, Sharon knows me so well, I can try and start saying a joke. I don't even get halfway through the line of the joke. She knows exactly what the punchline is. You know, she knows what you're going to say, type of thing, you know. She knows what I'm going to say. But that's what the Holy Spirit is to us. That's what Paul is trying to say to the church, not just at Corinth, but to the church, the body of Christ as a whole, that we can enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the companionship of the Holy Spirit, the partnership of the Holy Spirit, the communion of the Holy Spirit. But unfortunately, and I put myself into this category, how often are we aware even that the Holy Spirit is with us, going driving in the car on our own? The Holy Spirit's there with us, wanting to fellowship with us. And yet, I'm a shocker at doing this. I go straight to Spotify on my car and music, you know, and it's worship music. But maybe I just need to sit and be still and start to fellowship with the Holy Spirit in the car. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? And I think largely is that maybe the Holy Spirit, we don't have a full understanding who the Holy Spirit is that we ignore him. and we ignore that opportunity to fellowship with him. You know, to be that companion, to be in partnership with him. You know, his plan and his purpose, you know, is for, it's the same as the Father's, is that none shall perish. Now, his plan and his purpose would that the word of God would go forth and it won't come back to him void. That he would see a move of God across Circular Head. He doesn't want anyone to perish here in Circular Head. And so our mission at Dream Builders Church is to build lives, transform communities. You know, we're in partnership with the Holy Spirit, discipleship. It's about building lives. It's about transforming communities. But if we're not in fellowship with with the Holy Spirit, then maybe we ignore him. And so I pray that through this year that would change, if that is you. So just the last couple of comments. Why is it important to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Well, firstly, the Holy Spirit makes us more like Jesus. This is why it's important that we need to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He makes us more like Jesus. It's his sanctifying work in our lives. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." So as we walk in the Spirit and stay in step with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will start stripping away our love for the world and maybe our love for sin, and he would make us more like Jesus Christ. That's the goal, that we would become more like Christ. He empowers us to live a holy life. You know, he wants to lead and he wants to guide us. But if we're not in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it's hard to hear his voice. If we're not having that communion and that companionship with the Holy Spirit, it is really difficult to hear the voice of the Spirit. And his goal is to make us more like Jesus, but he wants to lead and guide us. He wants to lead and guide us into all truth. That's his role. He's to lead and guide us into all truth. Galatians 5:25 says, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Also, the Holy Spirit teaches us the ways of God. You know, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. You sure? Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. It's inspired by the Spirit of God. If he wrote it, he understands it. He knows it. And so when we come to the Word of God, he can teach us and reveal things to us through the Word. This is what 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says. "That is what the Scriptures mean when they say, 'No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him.' But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets." Who doesn't want to know God's deep secrets? Thank you, Sue. "No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit." You want to know what God thinks about you? The Holy Spirit will reveal it and reveal it through his word, what God says about you. You're the apple of his eye. "No weapon formed against you will prosper." Whatever it is that you're going through, you're his child. You want to know the deep things of God, God's thoughts about you? Ask the Holy Spirit. Open the word, ask the Holy Spirit. He'll teach you that. You want to know what God is like? Ask the Holy Spirit. You want to know God's thoughts about what you're going through, the circumstances that you're going through? Ask the Holy Spirit. He can reveal those things to you. Number three, the Holy Spirit helps you to pray. Romans 8:26, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all the hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will." Sometimes I've been in prayer meetings, you know, and people have been groaning in prayer meetings, and it's like the Holy Spirit It's the Spirit that's groaning through people. You know, sometimes we don't know what to pray. Sometimes we get in a situation, circumstance, we don't know what to pray. We need help. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray God's will. And you might have heard people, you know, praying in a heavenly language. They don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit praying in and through them God's will and God's purpose. He helps us when it comes to prayer. That's a good thing. He teaches us from the Word, and He helps us to pray. They're two things that Christians struggle with, reading the Word and praying. But guess what? The Holy Spirit, who's come alongside, the Parakletos, comes side to help, to strengthen. He gives us the help and the strength to read the Word, helps us and strengthens us to pray. And then the last point I've got here is the Holy Spirit guides you. So He makes us more like Jesus. He teaches us the ways of God. This is why it's important to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He helps us pray. But then He leads and He guides us. As I said earlier, it's hard to be led and guide when we're not in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If I'm not in fellowship with Sharon, I don't hear Sharon the best of times. So I understand that, you know. But if I'm not in this communion and intimate relationship with Sharon, I don't hear what she's saying. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit wants to guide us and lead us. This is what Acts 13 says. One day as these men were worshipping the Lord and fasting, this is the church at Antioch, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went down to the seaport of Seleucia and then sailed for the island of Cyprus. Interesting, the church got together to fast and pray. And what happened when they were fasting and praying? Amen. So when we organize like a time of prayer and fasting, it's not, we don't do it because it's a good idea. We really feel led by the Holy Spirit to do that in a week's time. But this is an opportunity when we pray and fast, the Holy Spirit starts speaking and the Holy Spirit starts appointing and setting apart. And, you know, we get to start taking steps, being led and guided by the Spirit. Things happen when you pray and fast. I know we can roll our eyes and it's like this is just another activity that we're doing, but it's a Christian discipline. Jesus, go back to Matthew chapter 6, prayer, fasting and giving. They're the three main disciplines that Jesus encouraged the disciples to continue to do. But we struggle with that. But this is where the Holy Spirit comes along to help us. So I want to encourage you as a church and us as a church to get involved in prayer and fasting because things will happen. If you need a miracle in your life, pray and fast. Okay? I can't emphasize that enough. It's not just something that we're doing as a good idea. We really feel that God, the Holy Spirit, is asking us to do that because something incredible is about to break open and happen. And I'm excited by that. But we've got to pay a price because we're in partnership with the Holy Spirit, yeah? Yes. Anyway, verse 6 and 7. Now Paul and Silas travelled through the area of, I think it's Phrygia and Galatia, because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Interesting. They tried to get into the province of Asia, but the Holy Spirit said, nah, you're not going there. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia, but again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. These guys had a sensitivity, had a dependence on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was alive in their lives because they were fellowshipping and they had this intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Let's get the band to come up. I might just get you all to stand. The Holy Spirit, He plays such an important role in the lives of the early church. He interacted with the believers. The believers depended on Him. It would seem that they would have a personal relationship with Him. You know, over the last 2 weeks, last week and this week, you've heard that the Holy Spirit, He is God, right? He's omniscient, He's omnipresent, and He's omni... Yeah, that's it. And as you've heard today, the Holy Spirit is exactly like Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I'm sending you another comforter or another helper. I'm sending you another advocate. I'm sending you another counselor. I'm sending you one like myself. He is exactly the same as me. But guess what? The Holy Spirit's not going to be confined to a physical body. He's not going to be confined to a geographical space. He will come alongside you and be with you 24/7. Which means if you need comfort, guess what? The Holy Spirit's there to give you comfort. If you need strength, He's there to give you strength. If you need, as Jesus even said, you know, when the disciples went before the synagogue rulers and things like that, He said, don't worry about what you're going to say because the Holy Spirit will speak through you. Guess what? We might find ourselves in a position where we don't know what to say. Well, we need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? The Holy Spirit can give us wisdom. He can give us discernment. He can actually speak through us and give us the words to say. As Paul says, I didn't speak eloquent words. I didn't speak nice words or, you know, simple words. It was more about speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to have that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We need to be in partnership with the Holy Spirit. We've been called to be in companionship with the Holy Spirit. And when we do, we can be more like Jesus. We can be taught the deep things of God. We can find help knowing what to pray. And He leads and guides us in the purposes of God. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I'm not sure where you stand in your relationship with God, but, you know, if you're an unbeliever and you haven't submitted your life to Jesus Christ, then you don't have the Holy Spirit living within you. It's when we submit our lives and surrender our lives to Jesus that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. This morning, you know, if you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, you don't have the Holy Spirit within you, you can change that this day. You can walk out with the Holy Spirit with you 24/7 from this day forward. All you have to do is surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Paul says we have this redemption, which is the forgiveness of sins. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's an act of God's grace. We have this redemption. It's the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, today is a day of salvation. Jesus' blood is enough. His blood is enough to wash away every sin. His blood is enough. His grace is enough to save you. So if you're here this morning and you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, I'd love to pray with you this morning. If you just shoot up your hand. I'd love to pray with you this morning. Are you all saved? Have you all submitted your life to Christ? Because we don't know the day or the hour when we get called home or when we get called to stand before Jesus. We don't know the day or the hour when Jesus is coming back. You look at world events at the moment. Look at world events and it all seems to be trending that Jesus is coming back very, very shortly. Are you right with God? Are you right? Are you in a right relationship, a right standing with God? If not, I'd love to pray with you this morning. Jesus' blood is enough. His grace is enough. The Bible talks about how we're sinners and we fall short of God's standard, of God's glory. But Christ came to die for us, even while we were sinners, even while we were His enemies. He sent His Son into the world that we would be saved. Just one last time, if you just want to shoot up your hand, if you're not right with God, if you haven't surrendered your life to the Lord, I'd love to pray with you this morning. We're all saved, are we? We're all saved. I don't know. Only you know where you stand. But I just want to encourage you, if you're not right, make it right, because you just don't know how much time you have left. You don't know. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. But I know it's very, very soon. Awesome. Well, let me pray, and then we can go and have some coffee and some scones. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross of Calvary. Lord, that you shed your blood for us. Lord, that you shed your blood for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, but it wasn't just at Calvary on that cross. You know, it didn't just die, but 3 days later you rose again from the dead. And I thank you, Lord, that you've poured out the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Those who have accepted you as Lord and Savior, those who have surrendered to your Lordship, I thank you for the Holy Spirit who you've poured out into each and every one of us. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, who you've called to our side to be our helper, to be our advocate, to be our comforter, to be our teacher, to be the one who gives us strength. I pray, Lord, from this morning onward, we'd get the revelation of how glorious and how beautiful it is to have the Holy Spirit with us 24/7, and how the Holy Spirit can help us in every area of our lives. I pray, Lord, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm just going to hand it back to the band. Let's go out with a song, and then please stay around for some coffee and some scones, and let's continue those conversations we're having in our 2-minute mingle.